You're watching The Sports Objective, the podcast for Pirates.
That stadium is going to be rocking, and heaven help whoever walks in there to play us.
Sustained effort and violence, you play your ass off.
You're watching the Pirate Preview on the Sports Objective. Join us every Tuesday night on YouTube Live as we're joined by beat writers and other media members. We take a look at what lies ahead for the Pirates. Now, here are the guys.
It is a first down. Pirates.
Welcome in to the Pirate Preview right here on the Sports Objective. And, of course, we have the great Bubba Rosenbaum, the Oz behind the scenes. We appreciate all he does for us. Bubba, what's up tonight?
I just got home from Raleigh's football practice and look forward to talking some Pirate football.
Glad to have you, man. I know that feeling. My son, Alexander, we finished up at 7:45 and got home here by 8 o'clock. And with us right now, the play-by-play voice of the Camels, that'll be Chris Heemeyer. How you doing, Chris?
Hey, I'm doing good, guys. I have two 13-month-old twin boys, and they go to bed at 7, so I don't have practices to deal with yet, but they can't feed themselves, so I'm sort of right there with you guys.
Yeah, it's really amazing because my son and Bubba's son play, like, multiple sports, and we're hoping that they can be on the same team, meaning the Pirates at some point, but regardless, the most important thing is they're having fun, and here we are. In fact, my son will be the class of 2031. Yours is the 29, right, Bubba? I believe off the top of my head. Or is it 30? I don't know. It doesn't matter. It's not next year, so they're not being recruited right now. At least I don't think they are. We wanted to have you on tonight. Big game on Saturday. I'm very excited. I'll tell you what I love about the games we've had. I was not happy with – I'm not a noon guy. I don't like noon kickoffs. Nobody cares how I feel. But I'm really happy that the second, third, and fourth home game for the Pirates are at 6 o'clock. This is the third game, and we have a lot of respect for the Camels. Campbell is doing an excellent job with, I know, the facilities like we talked about last time. We thank a lot of you. You've been with us for the last couple of years, helping us out with different shows. We thank the world of Coach Minner, what the job he's doing. In fact, I think we talked about the number one recruiting class in FCS. Off the top of my head, there's a lot to be excited about, the Camels. And then you knew about it but couldn't tell us, but you guys are going to the CAA. Really cool move, and really happy for you guys.
Yeah, definitely. Boy, thank you. When you rattle off everything like that, you kind of know what we've been feeling around Campbell for a long time. It's been an incredible 10 years, and the fact that Campbell going to the CAA – up there in FBS land in Greenville, some might have lost track of the conference that the Pirates were in at one time, but it's the best FCS conference in the land. And not only do they get 3, 4, 5, sometimes 6 teams into the playoffs, they play from Maine all the way down through North Carolina, and great institutions, great educational institutions. And most importantly, it's a stable conference, especially on the football side of things for the Big South Conference. Teams have been going in and out every couple of years. You're looking at the landscape maybe and worrying if it's a conference that'll lose its AQ. And so I think it's a great move for Campbell, and really puts an exclamation point on what has been an incredible decade, where Campbell went from a program that was at the bottom of the barrel in the Atlantic Sun to one that's at the top of the Big South, and an institution that the CAA wants.
Great to know. In fact, you guys right down the road, in fact, with basketball. And then, of course, Coach Hare has been with us on the show numerous times since 2019, and we love what he's done with the baseball program. Talk about Coach Minner. Obviously, I like him a lot. Being he played for the Panthers, really tough-nosed kind of guy. And by the way, we have after you, Chris, we actually have his Zoom call that we're going to play from earlier today. So we'll have that coming up later on. But talk about him, your relationship with him. What kind of guy is he for the folks at Pirate Nation?
He has put Campbell football on the map. He came in here in year six of the program, coming off a 1-10 season. At the time, they were an FCS non-scholarship program in the Pioneer League. We were playing the likes of Davidson, Butler, Drake. People didn't really understand what Campbell football was. And the day that he was hired, that gave this program credibility, and this gave this program recognition. You said it right. He was, for nearly a decade, he was an anchor at the back of a Panthers defense that won an NFC championship game and that went to the Super Bowl and really should have beat Tom Brady and the Patriots. But not only that, he was also beloved by the media. If they won, if they lost, you know, you could go to what they said, Media Mike, and he would give you 10 seconds of gold. He was a friendly guy inside the locker room, outside of the locker room. And that's why still to this day during camp, we'll have a TV station from Charlotte come up and do a Where Are They Now with Mike Minter. And anytime we're around Charlotte, you can bet his own friends in the media are going to cover him. So he put Campbell on the map, and he got in a lot of doors. Got in a lot of doors because people knew who he was and what he did and what kind of guy he was. Then when Campbell, this is just year five of them being a scholarship program, he hit the ground running recruiting. He had built a pretty good non-scholarship program. Then he had to really start all over and build a scholarship program. And here we are in year 10 for Mike Minter. This is the deepest team Campbell has ever had. This is the most talented team Campbell has ever had. And Dave, you mentioned it earlier, they have the number one recruiting class in all of FCS. And some of those true freshmen have already been on the field and are already making an impact. And he believes, and I do too, that this is a team that can win the Big South and get an automatic bid to the FCS playoffs and send Campbell to the football playoffs for the first time in program history.
You know, Chris, here early on, a very challenging early schedule for the Camels. They had that 29-10 victory over the Citadel, a Citadel team that bounced back with a 20-17 win over East Tennessee State, a program that's been very good in recent years. And then obviously going up to Williamsburg and like you said, falling 37-21, but against a very good William & Mary team that had won by 17 points against FBS Charlotte, obviously in Charlotte. So let's start off. Let's take a look at some of the personnel. Haj Malik Williams, very experienced quarterback. I remember seeing him for the first time, I guess back during the 2020 season when you guys were on the verge of upsetting Georgia Southern down in Statesboro.
Yeah, he's an incredible talent. You know, originally he signed with Army coming out of high school to try to run that option offense. He went to a military prep school for a year after high school, found out that the military life wasn't for him. Campbell had recruited him in high school, and he found a home. He's a dual threat guy, but he's one of those dual threat guys that will run second. He stays in the pocket. He has a great arm. He has a great feel for his receivers. He has a great feel for guys out of the backfield. But if things break down, he can go and he can turn what would be a sack into a 20-yard gain. He had two touchdowns on the ground, a couple of incredible runs against William & Mary. And he truly is an FBS talent that is playing at Campbell. And he has, over these past couple years, and especially last year when he was injured, he played just four games. He really wasn't healthy for any of them, but he sat on the sidelines and he really became a coach on the field and he really became a mature leader. He's always been a good guy off the field, but now he's a leader and a guy a lot of people respect, and that has made a lot of difference in the locker room and on the field.
And talk about some of that skill talent that that Williams has around him.
Yeah, definitely. They have a stable of backs. They literally call them the stable of backs. They have six guys that they feel comfortable with. You'll probably feel three. They have Bryant Barr, who had over 100 yards rushing in game one against the Citadel. They have a change of pace with Lamaje McDowell, who's a battering ram that can get you those tough yards in the red zone. And they have a lot of quick twitch guys that can run outside and bounce one and break one. Receiver-wise, they have a couple of guys that played FBS ball that have transferred into the program. Jai Williams started his career at Coastal Carolina. Ezariah Anderson looks every bit of a Power 5 player. He went to Iowa State to start his career. He's 6'5", 240. He is he's outstanding. He was also recruited by Oregon and Missouri. And so those are a couple of the guys that really have solidified the offense. You know, Minter has done a fantastic job of, there's a bunch of homegrown guys. This isn't a mercenary squad where transfers come in and out, but he's been able to supplement what he needs and get depth with FBS guys. A lot of the FBS transfers are coming. And then of course, the number one recruiting class in the country. And he's put together the deepest squad that we've had here at Campbell.
Looking over some of the numbers, and one of the things that really stood out to me in that game against William & Mary, of Haj Malik Williams, 186 passing yards, 95 of those were to tight end Julian Hill, said 7 receptions. Is that correct?
Yeah. Julian Hill's the real deal guy. He's a great story. He's 6'4", 250. He's a grad student. He grew up in Fayetteville. He was a record-setting quarterback down in Fayetteville. He came here. They moved him to tight end. And he's a guy that over half the teams in the NFL has sent a scout to come and see. That's the kind of talent he is. He can catch, and he's going to open your eyes a little bit with what he can do when he catches the ball. But he is an outstanding blocker. I know it doesn't seem like sometimes when we're talking about Travis Kelce and some of the other fantastic, basically wide receivers playing in a tight end bodies in the NFL, but the guy can block. And the guy can run block and pass protect. Julian Hill can, and that's what's going to probably end him up in an NFL camp coming up this summer. I mean, he's a great talent and a great leader on this team and somebody to look for.
Yeah, Chris, as far as the defense is concerned, talk about that side of the ball and how's that looking so far?
Yeah, definitely. Another guy that the scouts have been looking at, Brevin Allen. He's a 6'4", 275 guy. Somebody that's a defensive end that was the conference player of the year in the Big South Conference last year. He's a preseason Big South Conference defender of the year. He's been drawing a lot of attention. So on the other side of defensive end, and Joshua Johnson, a guy that should be playing in the FBS right now as well, but he got injured coming out of high school. And he came down to Campbell. They have some interior guys that have experience. How about this? Gabe Holmes, who was a leading tackler for Campbell, an interior guy at the William & Mary game. 2016 was his first year at Campbell. He's one of those 7-year guys that you've seen around the nation. He redshirted. He got a medical red shirt, and he has a COVID year. And I think he's on degree number 3 right now. So he's a good anchor in that line. The linebackers are deep and solid. You know, the secondary, I really think, is where this game will be won. Campbell has depth. It's not necessarily the most experienced depth at all, but, you know, against ECU's fantastic quarterback, speaking of a great story in Ehlers, that's going to be a big matchup to watch, because Campbell has not faced a quarterback with the resume of him.
You were talking about that with Ehlers. What is the program as far as Minter? And I didn't get a chance to be on the Zoom call today, unfortunately. But what's Coach Minter talking about with as far as Ehlers and the respect I'm sure they have for him and the offensive side of the ball?
I mean, it's fantastic. You know, like he said, they have skill guys like we haven't seen. You know, there is some size with a couple of the receivers, but then you guys know how good your running game is. I mean, that's what makes ECU's offense so special this year. You know, you can't just drop back and play Ehlers to throw. I mean, he can run himself, speaking of a dual threat, but then the running backs as well. So it was not only the experienced quarterback that Minter says is going to be a problem, but it's also the fact that there are so many different ways that ECU can beat you offensively.
Going to our comments on Facebook Live as well as YouTube, have several already. And Johnny Gardner chimes in via Facebook saying that he was in attendance for that matchup on Thursday night, September 1st against the Citadel. And in his opinion, the secondary was extremely fast and really swarmed to the football while not very tall.
Yeah, definitely. And that's what you find in a lot of positions. In the FCS guys that come right out of high school, there are guys that have the speed, have the skill to play at an ECU, to play at an NC State, to play at a Wake Forest, but because they're 6 foot or 5'11 or 5'10, they're not going to get that chance. And I think that's where you'll really look at things, you know, on the outside with the way Ehlers throws when he pinpoints the ball, you know, how is Campbell going to play that? And that's what I'm really interested in as well.
As far as one thing I had, as far as the Camels are concerned with the fans, do you know, like, being a short drive from Buies Creek to Greenville, is there a few thousand fans maybe coming to see the Camels play East Carolina?
Dave, we're going to shut the lights out in the town and come up. All of Harnett County might be invading Greenville, man. I'm telling you what, but like this is a special game. Again, you know, I've worked for ECU. I lived in Eastern North Carolina, so it's going to be a very special game for me. But it's going to be a special game for a lot of these people because this is the biggest stadium Campbell has ever played in. Again, this is just the 15th year of football and on the fifth year of scholarship football. We couldn't play FBS teams before when we were non-scholarship. So, you know, not only that, but it's going to be a place close to home. Of course, ECU and Campbell have played each other in everything else. And we recruit nationally, but there are some guys from the NC, there's some guys from the state, there's some guys from the South that know the tradition of East Carolina, that know the atmosphere at East Carolina, and they're going to go there and they're going to have something to prove. Yeah, you know, it might be a 6 foot safety that didn't get a look for East Carolina, but now he has a chance in front of that atmosphere and your great student section and your great fans and all the purple and gold that's going to be in the towns to prove something. So there are a lot of people that have circled this game on the calendar because this is, okay, we've got a football team now, a quote unquote real team that plays other teams that people know. So it's going to be really, really special. And it starts a streak here where next year, Campbell will play at UNC. The year after that, Campbell will play at NC State a couple of times, actually. And in 2026, I can't wait for you guys to have me on for that one. Campbell goes down to the swamp to play Florida. So hopefully it's one of the bad Florida teams and we'll have a good experience down there. So this will be fun and really start the fun of Campbell going up and playing one of those FBS teams every year.
And now, Chris, before we go to some more of our Facebook Live and YouTube comments, this next comment, I mean this genuinely. I'm not trying to be smart, funny in any way. I know for the game against the Citadel, I think you had right around 4,100. How many tickets was Campbell allotted for this game? And, you know, how many have they sold? Do you have any idea?
Well, I know it wasn't a lot because my phone has been blowing up with people asking for tickets and, you know, rightfully so. With this year, a lot of season tickets have been sold. So I don't know the exact number, but I do know, and I have heard some things, and maybe you guys can tell me now, you know, after the emotional game at NC State, which you guys, you know, set a record at Dowdy-Ficklin Stadium, playing a very good ODU team who, of course, took down Virginia Tech the day before. This might be another 6 o'clock game, maybe an opponent the fans are overlooking. You know, Coach Houston won't let his team overlook Campbell, knowing what he knows about the FCS and how he slayed some giants before. But maybe this is the one where some of the students and some of the alumni don't make it out of the tailgate fields, and maybe you'll be able to get a pretty good StubHub ticket closer to the game. So I know a lot of people, even though it's family weekend, are thinking that they can go to Greenville without a ticket and get into the game.
And the reason I say that very quickly, Dave, is just because, you know, just a game of this – on this scale, you know, whether it's East Carolina, North Carolina, NC State, you know, or whatever, a regional FBS rival or in-state opponent, if you will, just obviously this is huge. And, you know, I can imagine, like you were already saying, you know, Campbell fans who may not necessarily get to all the games there in Buies Creek will want to go.
Yeah,
because
there's no doubt.
Maybe they're going to East Carolina friends or so forth. Sorry, I had some lag
there. Yeah, no, not at all. And you know, and as we talked about before, 6 o'clock is a perfect time for us to get there. I can get there in an hour and a half. from where I live here in Buies Creek. So I'm expecting the orange will be really representative, because just that picture. I've talked to a lot of alums when this game was put on the schedule. They say when we run out to Dowdy Ficklin Stadium, that's going to be a huge moment for me. And these are some that were here without football. There were some were here for the fledgling years of football. It's going to be a special time. And also too, hey, we're getting paid as well. So nothing to lose for Campbell to come out for Greenville. They might have not given us a lot of tickets, but they gave us a pretty good check, which is nice.
Yeah, I haven't heard. Have you heard, Bubba, how many tickets are sold for this game off the I don't know off the top.
I have not, Dave. I would imagine that it's probably similar to last week, but then, like Chris said, did you say, I know it's painted gold, so it's family weekend as well. So
that's the thing.
When it was family weekend, I think it was Mike Houston's first season for the William & Mary game that we had right around just shy of 40,000. So I'm hoping that I haven't looked at the weather forecast, but, you know, knock on wood, if the weather forecast is more like it was on September 3rd as opposed to last weekend, and obviously it's going to be 6 o'clock in the evening as opposed to noon, so it shouldn't be as hot. I think we can probably push for 40,000.
Yeah, I'm looking. It's supposed to be beautiful.
Great.
Yeah, so for Saturday, looks like 85 for the high and 62 for the low. And so no reason for people not to go out. And as a matter of fact, Chris, Bubba, I told some of my tailgate folks to my after the game on Saturday night, I said, what's up with all these people? They're like leaving Greenville, and I actually love Greenville very much. It's where I went to school. And I said, but what else is there to do on a Saturday night? Like, you, why did you come to the game if you're going to leave and you have no real reason to leave, and you leave early, or you leave like with 1 or 2 minutes to spare? I said, it's like a Dodgers game. You come in the third and you leave in the seventh. Like, what are you, unless you're a volunteer fireman and you have a reason to leave, there is no reason to leave, especially as much as we love the games, you know, like we love the competition. And what I do is I usually tailgate 30 minutes or an hour after the game, because there's no reason to fight the traffic. There's people beside you. You talk about the game. There's your friends, your family. My children now are with me. So it's like a huge – I know Bubba brings his children sometimes, and he's with his mom and dad a lot. And it's like a – I mean, what else are you going to do? This time of year, there's football, and more football. And now my son is playing football, so I have football from Friday night all the way through Sunday.
Like you're saying, Dave, you're only guaranteed 6 of these at home every year. And this year, well, we're lucky enough to have 7. So, you know, unless there's a situation like I probably will have on a few Saturdays this year, I've been very fortunate so far with Riley's football, you know, having a later start, and then also, you know, playing early enough in the morning in these 6 o'clock starts where I can still get there by kickoff. Due to a noon start or, you know, 11 o'clock start, whatever the case may be for his game, which has been awesome. But, yeah, like you're saying, cherish each and every one of them. You know, from my perspective, I know the diehard Pirate fans do the same. But going back to some of our Facebook and YouTube Live comments, Casey Brand on YouTube brought up something that Mike Houston really emphasized during his weekly press conference today, and that's the size of the Camels offensive line. He said that they have a young man who's a transfer from Wake Forest. So if you would talk about some of those gentlemen.
Yeah, he wasn't just blowing smoke, guys, and that was one of the things. But Campbell had a very interesting COVID year, and I don't know if you guys remember or not, but in 2020, Campbell didn't play the spring season. Mike Minter, you know, coming from the NFL background and knowing what a toll that it takes on your body, when the announcement was made, he said, look, we're not going to play the spring, but we're going to play the fall. We're going to go out. We're going to make some money and challenge the best. And so he put together a 4-game FBS schedule. Wake, Georgia Southern. You had mentioned the Georgia Southern game. It was one that Campbell should have won. They had a 2-point conversion chance at the end of the game and missed an open receiver in the end zone. But they hung with Wake, App State, Coastal Carolina. That was your Coastal Carolina was really put on the map, and they hung with them a little bit. And a big reason for that was because their line, their offensive line looked in place, and those guys are still there. I'll read off to you the dimensions. 6'7", 355. That's an NFL prospect. He's on the 1,000 list for the Shrine Bowl. He started at Wake Forest, Mike Edwards. 6'3", 320 at left guard. 300, 6'3", at center. 6'4", 335 at right guard. 6'8", 335 at right tackle. So those dimensions, guys, I mean, that's FBS level dimensions, and that's what may give Campbell and Haj Malik Williams a little bit of a chance to try to do something offensively.
And that's scary, obviously, as Coach Houston talked about that today in the press conference. So, but obviously, you're going to give, as we told the guys, we're going to give our teams respect, especially after the Scotty Moe era where we had two FCS programs beat us, including James Madison when he was a coach there. It's amazing how things we live in a small world, as they say. And then the next year with that was 2017, the first game of the year. And then 2018, we had a storm. I think it was lightning. And then we had to play. That was a Saturday night game. We had to play the next day on Sunday. We lose that game to A&T. So we had two back-to-back and a scare last year with Charleston Southern. So we're very familiar with the losing to FCS opponents or having the daylight scared out of us. Like last year. So I don't think there's anybody, even Pirate Nation, I don't think there's anybody. Bubba, is there anybody that you know of that is overlooking this game? Because honestly, we've been there where we've lost, and it doesn't feel good when you lose to an FCS opponent. And the program was at a very, very low point. And then when you have a situation where you guys where the recruiting has been great, you have great coaching, but more than great coaching, you have great players.
Yeah, as far as what you're saying, Dave, I've not heard anybody really talk about it. Being so busy, I haven't talked to a lot of folks, honestly, but I have heard some of the Pirate players talk about it today at the press conference, just simply saying they referenced that Charleston Southern game, saying they found out last year, you know, against what was honestly, I mean, they had a good quarterback, but on the whole was probably a mediocre team at best. I don't recall. I want to say they finished around 500 or something a season ago, but they found out what can happen if you don't come out and take care of your business and just assume that you're going to, you know, chalk up a victory. And then Mike Houston said that that's far and away the worst he's ever felt after a victory of any game in his coaching career.
No question, especially when you look at Campbell. Yeah, I think, Chris, not because you're on with us, but I think Campbell has more talent than that Charleston Southern team. So I don't think, but honestly, I don't think maybe that was a good thing to happen to players, but I really don't think the players are going to be if Campbell were to win, it wouldn't be because of the East Carolina Pirates overlooking them. It would be because Campbell played one heck of a game. And, you know, that's the thing is that that's why we play the games. You know, you can't just say we're going to win this game, we're going to lose this game, we're going to win this game. You can get yourself into – I remember, I'm not going to say on the air, but I was around a coach years ago who started looking at the schedule and said, we can't win this game, we can't win this game, we can't win this game. And I'm like – and I wanted to say to that coach, and I won't say which level or where I was, but I wanted to walk up to that coach and say, why are we going to play the games then? If you think you're the head coach – and you think we can't win, why should we play the games? And I've already told Bubba off the air, he knows who it is, but I don't want to say and embarrass him.
The sources will remain. And that's the thing. And look, and make no mistakes about it. Campbell's going to go up there to try to win, but Mike Minter, he's been the same way. Both coaches have been talking so highly about the other team. I had somebody text me today that was listening to the press conferences and says, man, Coach Houston is making you guys seem like Alabama with the smiley face there. And, you know, coming from FCS, he knows what a good FCS team can do. And he knows that, especially now in the transfer era, you know, like I said, we've got a lot of homegrown talent here at Campbell, but we have some dudes that have played Group of Five and Power Five ball, and at least size-wise, match up at certain things. So I'm really interested to see how it's going to go, because Campbell did a good job, and it was such a weird time, you guys, because we were playing in empty stadiums with all the COVID protocols and stuff like that. But Campbell truly hung with these FBS teams, and they're deeper and more talented. They haven't played a team, and they didn't that year, that was as talented as ECU. Maybe 2020 Wake Forest was close to what ECU was, at least offensively. But I'm really interested to see it. It's going to be a great moment, regardless of what happens, in a great game and a great mark for Campbell. But it'll be interesting to see what Campbell can do and how long they can hold their own, if they can hold their own, and heck, if they can make it a game.
And that 2020 game, you guys went up to the Rock at App State, correct? I want to say that App had some guys out with COVID in that game, but at the same time, obviously that was a very talented team as well, although they were shorthanded, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, that was a game that, they were missing, you know, maybe you said it right. It was like 14 to 16 guys, but Campbell gave a run for their money. It was a one-score game deep until the second quarter, and that's really how it was against Coastal and against Wake. And that was a fun moment. I had actually mentioned that game to Coach Minter when we were talking at the offices earlier this week, because you know they were ready to run their head coach out of town. That was something that going into this year they'd been very disappointed in the direction that it was going, and now look at them now. It's a good thing they stuck with them.
Yeah, obviously the folks in Lincoln and Nebraska didn't stick with their coach, but
yeah,
certainly that's tough. For you know, that's what I was telling people. It's a really tough business. And that, speaking of press conferences, I was not happy for Scott Frost. I'm not a Scott Frost fan, but being an alum of Nebraska, he wasn't given any. I understand the frustration, and I don't want to get off too much of a tangent because we're talking Campbell ECU, yeah. But that was one of the most painful press conferences I've ever heard. And I hope the athletic director, the one comment I mentioned this other night, Chris, I don't know if you heard, but the one comment that bothered me was when Trev Alberts said that he wanted a coach that hated losing more than winning. And I'm going, well, what coach is going to love to lose? I mean, what coach would you have? I just thought that was a really dumb comment. Not that he cares what I think, but they have some really deep problems that go way back. And the good news is for you guys, like a program that's starting up, as you guys are like, y'all continue to go up, and you have a program like Nebraska that their problem is they don't have an identity. They always are talking about the past, and they need to carve out. I'm not a Cornhuskers fan, obviously, but that's been a very frustrating thing for me this weekend. It's like, I'm like, why do I even care? You know, because I'm not a Cornhuskers fan, but they have a passionate fan base. And that's the thing about Campbell is you guys are, I'm curious to see how many people, like we talked about, will come. And then also the fact that, you know, with Minter, you can actually, he just seems like a guy that not only you like him, but also that he can build a program. And what I mean by that is that have fans that really care about, you know, the program as far as the football program at Campbell.
Yeah, there's a lot of pride in the program, and you know, he led Campbell to three straight winning seasons, and just doing everything, building it in the scholarship era as well, which has been half his tenure, but building it with recruiting, with getting some transfers in there, and now that's why they pointed to this year. It's going to be tough in the CAA. That'll be another sort of leveling up thing for Campbell. So I really think he feels, and from what I've seen so far, I think he has a team that can really make a run at a Big South Conference tournament. That the Big South, forever changing. It's a little down this year, but that would be really kind of the cherry on top of his first 10 years if he can get a conference championship and get him into the FCS playoffs.
Well, that was my next question. That was a nice segue, that very thing. How, like the program, that's amazing. I hadn't thought about that. The program has never met the FCS playoffs. And that would be amazing. And then the one thing I love about FCS is the fact that the playoff system of having 16 teams, hopefully one of these days, East Carolina will have a shot at the playoffs. But you win your conference, you're in, right? I mean, that's pretty daggone cool.
Yeah. I was talking about that with someone the other day. It's really something that, you know, it seemed like the FBS would, you know, have gotten around to sooner, but people people don't know how much money used to be wrapped up in the bowls. I mean, that's the biggest thing of why it prevented it. But now that the bowls have kind of fallen to the wayside, it's great. It doesn't get the hype that the FCS playoffs should, because quite frankly, it's when the Power Five and the Group of Five conference races are coming down to the stretch. But it's really fun, and it's just a little bit of March Madness. There are some Goliaths that make it. There are some teams from some smaller conferences that make it. But everybody that wins their conference in FCS has a chance at a national championship. And isn't that what you want? And isn't that what we're all doing this for? As well, too. It's really a great thing. And if Campbell could be a part of that, my goodness, because, you know, Coach Minter has put this program on the map. He has built it up. You know, he's been able to get fundraising and facilities. And again, he is a great representative of this program. And that's just the one thing that he hasn't done yet.
Chris, a couple more things for you before we let you run. Talk about the Campbell's special teams. We had a question or two about that, specifically from Robert Dedrick, saying that they seem to have a good special teams unit. I know the place kicker, I believe, is 3 for 3. He did miss one PAT. The Pirates, as I'm sure you realize, have missed 3 PATs or missed one and had 2 blocked in the first 2 games. And also missed a field goal, obviously, at the end of that NC State game, and they had a chance to win it. So you had a punt blocked. The coverage units have been solid. Luke Larson, as punter, has been, you know, kind of Jekyll and Hyde, more of a work in progress situation. We're, I think, 125th nationally in net punting, just 30 yards net. So that's an area that the Camels could make some hay.
No doubt. And guys, I was I fell off my couch when that field goal missed as well, because we've been there. Now, granted, it wasn't against big rival NC State. It was a top 15 team in the country, so I know your pain is greater. But last year, Campbell was 3 for 14 in field goal kicking. Wow. And a lot of those missed field goals led to lost games. And a 3-8 record. So I'm right there with you. We have a new field goal kicker. He's a transfer from Mercer. He's sensational. He got Big South Conference Special Teams Player of the Week after going 3 for 3 in game 1 against the Citadel. So he truly is a weapon, because when you don't have faith in your field goal kicker, then you're going for it from the 30 on 4th and 5 when you could, you know, put an exclamation point at the end of a drive with a field goal. A great punter too. I think everybody has a punter from Australia now. Campbell has one too. His name's Corey Peterson. He won't boot it 60 yards, but man, if he's close, he'll drop it inside the 20. So he has been a huge, huge weapon. And Campbell has a guy that doesn't stand very tall, but number 30, Josh McNeely, returns punts, returns kick returns. He had 100 yards of kick returns last week. He is the reigning Big South Conference Special Team Player of the Week, and he's a guy that could bust one. So the special teams are special again at Campbell, and that's something you need to keep you in a game that you're going to be a heavy underdog in, which what Campbell is going to be against ECU. So hopefully they will come up special with 40,000 fans screaming in their ear on Saturday night.
You talk about Peterson averaging, I know against William & Mary, is right at 44 yards on 4 attempts. And how were the coverage units? I'm guessing pretty solid. And then
yep, yep, right on there. And I think he dropped two inside the 20.
And how about kickoff coverage? I did not have the opportunity to look at that, because obviously Keaton Mitchell, who Coach Minter was talking about, you know, more so as a running back, what he can do with the ball in his hands, be it on the ground or receiving. He said, this guy is fast. He said he was making NC State linebackers who were projected draft picks. He said, and that's all of them. He said, looked like they were running in mud.
Yeah, look, I don't think he's going to get many kick to him. Coach Minter knows how a quick return guy can flip the tables on you in a second. And he ain't too proud to pooch that kick up and and take the medicine starting from the 35. So maybe look for Campbell not even to try to give Mitchell a chance to show his afterburners.
Yes, that's one that certainly with Keaton Mitchell, you know, before we let you go, I'll just mention that, Chris, I think before we, out of necessity, Coach Houston had to play younger players in special teams because the really good players back in the day, we didn't have the depth that we have now. And so if those guys got hurt playing special teams, then who do you turn to? Now there, he has more confidence in his players. He has more guys that he can put out there if those guys do get hurt. But I've always been of the feeling of putting your best guys out there because we fought our way from being one of the worst teams in FBS, 129th, 130th, dead last or next to last at the time. I think we have 131 now, but to now we're not one of the best teams, but we're not a cellar dweller anymore. And I think that that's something that we have to look at, and especially with games that are going to be every single game we'll play this year, most likely will be close. So you need to every single point. That's why we've been upset about the last 2 weeks. The one thing we can say for a win and a loss is that we can't give up extra points, field goals, because every point is precious. Like, that's one thing. But anyway, thank you so much for coming on. I'm looking at the time and you've gone longer. We appreciate your patience tonight starting the show. And tell everybody how they can listen to the broadcast and how they can follow you on social media.
Yeah, thank you guys so much. Now look, he's a mentor of mine, and he made a phone call here at Campbell to put my resume on top of the pile back 12 years ago. So I'm not going to tell you to not listen to the voice of the Pirates, Jeff Charles. But if you want to listen to me, we're on the Varsity Network app and at gocampbells.com. And I can't wait. Like I say, you know, having lived in Eastern North Carolina for a decade and worked for ECU and done ECU broadcast and being downfield level when Purple Haze is played, I'm going to be getting chills just like all you guys do in the stand. So I'm hoping for a good game, but I'll be excited to be back in Greenville. And thank you guys so much for having us on and giving us a little chance to tell you about Campbell.
And Bubba, I know you had a comment before we were going to leave. I'm sorry, I didn't realize that.
Oh, no, it's no problem. It's one. We'd love to get Chris' thoughts on it. I mean, it's something that you guys may have actually brought up. I had to step away for a few minutes early in the conversation, but a common thread, you know, bond between these two programs is Dale Steele. He's actually retired now down in Myrtle Beach, but, you know, he was a part of the East Carolina program, I guess, up through last season on the administrative side and had been with Coach Houston up at JMU and I had obviously been at East Carolina multiple times going back to the Bill Lewis days. So that's another common thread and, you know, bond between the Pirates and Camels. And he said that he would be wearing a neutral white this weekend.
Yeah, and Coach Steele, one of the best men that I've met in this game of football that we love so much. He was the perfect person to build this program, guys. And that's a story for another podcast and episode, but what he did to build a non-scholarship program from scratch, bringing Campbell back for the first time since the 50s was incredible. I was honored to be his radio guy for 2 years. We still keep in touch and there's no better guy out there.
And by the way, I wanted to mention too, I just realized I forgot, Campbell, the Camels and East Carolina played back in 1939 is my understanding.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't want to brag, but the Camels are 3-1 officially against football. We talk about the 15 years of modern football. Campbell as a JUCO had a team from 25 to 50. So, you know, Coach Houston, he probably has just put up on the bulletin board 1-3 ECU versus Campbell, and don't tell him anything else to get him fired up.
There you go. Chris, brother, thank you so much. Look forward to seeing you soon and look forward to having you back on during basketball season too.
All right. Thank you guys. We'll see you on Saturday.
Okay. Take care. All right. Good night. Right, bye-bye. Appreciate Chris very much. He's always good to us, Bubba, and a lot of time and, I tell you what, great voice, great, great voice, great job, great preparation. And a lot of people don't know that he did that work with Jeff Charles back in the day, did a great job with the Pirates for sure. I know that, Bubba, are you ready to do the Zoom call with Mike Minner? Do you want to do that now?
If you want to, well, let's go ahead and have our round table, and we'll save that. We'll save that 12-minute Zoom with Mike Minner to wrap things up.
All right, sounds good. I know the we were talking earlier about ticket sales. I'm praying that we can get people there, Bubba. I'm going to do a Bubba right now, and my kids are going. My one of my great friends is going to the game, so we'll be there. We'll have the great tailgate. The tailgate time is at 6 o'clock. I mean, the game is at 6 o'clock. You can get there at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I mean, it's a perfect time. So what we're going to do, Bubba, is we're going to my son's game at 10:30 in Washington, the original Washington. And then that'll be over at noon, and we're going to drive over to Greenville after his game to tailgate and then get ready for the Pirates game. And I just want people to go watch the Pirates. And like I said, what are you going to be doing? If you're a real Pirate fan, unless you have an emergency, why not go to the game?
No doubt. I mean, you think about it, we're only guaranteed 5 more games at Dowdy Ficklin Stadium this year. Hopefully there'll be a 6th with hosting a conference championship game. That's certainly a very real possibility, but we're only guaranteed 5 more. So let's make the most of them, create a rowdy atmosphere, and you know, help the guys get off to a great start and do what we should do on Saturday and not let things get interesting in any way. But, you know, kind of some other football notes before we move on and, you know, have a bit of a ECU fall sports update. You know, taking a look at where the Pirates rank nationally, we were talking about where we fail in terms of net punting, and that's near the bottom, the bottom 5 or 6 or so in the nation at 125th. East Carolina ranks in the top 25 in several categories specifically. You know, take a look at rush defense. The Pirates are 16th, 74 yards a game, after allowing just, I think it was 15 against the Monarchs last Saturday night. And then the Pirates also are ranking 18th in third down defense, allowing opponents to convert just 23%, I believe it's 23 or 24% of their third downs. And then third down offense has been a huge improvement over a season ago through 2 games. Last year, the Pirates were down around, I don't know, 35%. It was pretty poor. And then we were so good on fourth down. This year, through 2 games, we're 53% in third down offensive conversion rate. And then he said, Johnny Robertson chimes in on Facebook saying we're also 16th in the fewest penalties with 9, and also 15th in total first downs with 48.
Yeah, thank you, Johnny, about the penalties. I was going to ask Bubba about that today. I was going to text you, Bubba. I'm sorry. I was going to ask. That's funny that Johnny brought that up, because I was wondering about that. We'd only had like 1 or 2 in the first game, right? I know we had a holding call in that state game on the fourth quarter. It was like the first penalty, but we didn't have many in that first game. And hey, only, hey, we'll take it. 9 penalties in 2 games. We'll take that.
I believe you're correct. I think it was 2 and 7 far as the breakdown by game. At worst, it was 3 and 6, but I think it was 2 and 7.
Oh, and
go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was just going to – another thing I was going to mention to you this afternoon. How about I knew the time of possession for the ODU game was a big disparity, but I didn't know how much, and I forgot to text you, Bubba. I'm realizing at lunchtime I was thinking about 41 to 19, 41 minutes for the Pirates, 19 minutes for ODU. That is total – that is one of those stats that – I think is not sexy to some people, but Bubba, you know, being a football player and a quarterback, how important that stat is.
It can be. It's more important in some games than others. It can also be very deceiving. Go back to the Ruff and McNeil years. I mean, if you're scoring every minute and a half, you'll certainly take that.
I know.
You definitely need to be able to, you know, put together a more time consuming drive or a quote 4-minute drive, if you will. But, especially in games, you know, like when you're playing a team where you may be a little outmanned, you know, obviously it'll be interesting to see how Campbell handles things this weekend, to see, you know, if they take more of a ball control approach you know, if they're having some success on offense. That's the thing. You have to be able to have some success moving the ball and picking up first downs in order to be able to make that a reality. Craig says he needs my analysis of the 2022 breakdancing championship that's currently nothing to offer you there. I know that was a joke, but I may have to turn that on just for laughs.
One of the great eras, 1984, when you have the movie Breakin', and then the best sequel name ever, Breakin' 2, Electric Boogaloo, and it was about breakdancing. And you know, it's one of those movies back when you're like 11, 12 years old that you think is cool. And now you look back and you go, what in the world was I thinking? You know, like they look dated. It's terrible. The movies were bad when you're that young and you love breakdancing. It was like a in thing way, way back. That was such a cool thing. But now it's like, wow. But anyway, yeah, I would love to check that out. For sure, the breakdancing championships. I didn't even know. Speaking of content, man, ESPN2 definitely needs some better content than that, right, Bubba? In my opinion.
Yeah, interesting. And I guess that's kind of like years ago. Obviously, you know, when you're tailgating, you know, other settings, it's nice to play cornhole. But that's something that I kind of laughed at first. But believe it or not. You know, when I've been, you know, struggling for something to do with my time, I have here and there, you know, watched a little bit of cornhole on ESPN. But yeah, it's interesting to see sometimes on the programming. But somebody must watch it, otherwise I wouldn't guess they'd be putting it on. But like you said, you would think that would be valuable airtime, and I mean even when they are hard up for something to put on. And we have Conan C chiming in. He says ESPN8, the Ocho, obviously a dodgeball reference there.
Yeah. Nice play there, Conan. for sure. I just, my thing, speaking of programming, Bub, I want to give you a shout out for our programming for right here. We're working on other shows behind the scenes. If you know of anybody who wants to sponsor us, then certainly you want to be a sponsor. You want to be part of the TSO family. When it comes to sponsoring our shows, let us know. Bubba, I want to mention this. I'm not ready to go, but I just want to give you a shout out for all your hard work. And we're working together on other shows too, to bring you coming up soon. But the Absolute Empowerment with Coach Jeff Connors, Coach C, we love you so much. He's awesome. And done an excellent job on Monday nights. They've been a lot of great content. If you haven't heard them, man, we've had the likes of, I know that there were the former players, and then Coach Logan's be on there. And Bubba, there's a huge one coming up soon with a country star, right?
Actually, that was last night.
Last night, that's right.
But yeah, Absolute Empowerment. And before I go through our programming, just subscribe to our YouTube channel and just simply search The Sports Objective. And you can find our channel, and you'll know it's our channel. You'll see the logo that you see there in the top left of the screen with TSO and the pirate ship. But go to our channel, subscribe, click all on the notification bell, and that way you'll be alerted anytime we upload and release new content. But you know, going through some of our shows, they've mentioned Absolute Empowerment with Coach Jeff Connors. On our initial show, we had Larry Shannon, Leonard Henry, and you know, also Mike Swift, who played worked out under Coach Connors during his second stint during the Coach Mo years. So definitely go check out that show. It was evergreen content. There was some NC State talk in there, but that was more about the games between the Pirates and Wolfpack that had taken place prior to this year. Dave mentioned the conversation with Coach Logan that has received a tremendous response, as we knew it would. The most recent show was with country music singer and former North Carolina Tar Heel linebacker Chase Rice. And there honestly was not a whole lot of North Carolina talk in there. You know, for our diehard Pirate fans who would not want to hear that, just being honest. But that was a tremendous conversation, more about Chase Rice overcoming some of the things that he has overcome in his life and, you know, recommitting himself to his career and just, you know, doing the things he needed to do to be as successful as he could be. So definitely go check that out. Upcoming guests will include Pernell Griffin, Leonard Henry, also Brian Moss, three Pirate pastors. We'll also have former East Carolina defensive line coach and also a defensive line coach or coached other defensive positions at a variety of universities, be it Cal, North Carolina. I think he also spent some time at Texas Tech, and I'm talking about Art Kaufman, who was in Greenville and one of the veteran coaches, a few veteran coaches that John Thompson brought in, him and J.B. Grimes. But that conversation with Art Kaufman will be headed your way here in the next 2 or 3 weeks. Also, tonight, obviously, you're watching the Pirate Preview. That's each and every Tuesday night on Wednesday. So tomorrow you'll have Pirate Breakdown with Sutton Young and also Sonny and Semenza, which is two East Carolina football letter winners, Jay Sunhalter and Matt Semenza, and talking college football. They'll touch on the Pirates, but then they'll also talk about some of the top games around the nation. On Thursday night, it'll be a somewhat similar show, but you know, a larger cast, if you will, and, you know, with the entire Sports Objective team. Most Thursday nights, talking about some of the top college football games of the week. On Friday, we always release a generally recorded interview because that's during the workday for me. But we'll catch up with another Pirate this week, you know, be it a former athlete, maybe a current athlete, or just a member of Pirate Nation. The first two guests were former East Carolina quarterback John Casaza, who led the Pirates to their first ever win over NC State back in 1971. And then last week it was Pat Lane, who's a longtime donor to his alma mater. He and his wife, Lynn, have not only been very generous financially, but then also with donating a ton of time, serving on various committees and so forth. On Saturday, always, any game I attend, be it at home or on the road, I'll release footage, you know, some videos from in and around the stadium. And we call that Sights and Sounds Around Daddy Ficklin. And then Sunday, join us, it's typically around 7 or 8 p.m. for the Pirate Football Playback, where we talk about the previous game as well as take a look ahead at whoever the Pirates will be playing in that coming week.
And a lot of shows there, but one of our dreams to bring you extensive coverage of the Pirates, and it won't stop. And I will just tell you this, it will continue beyond football. So that's all we'll say right now. We've got some other stuff. And I know Johnny has a question. Is Wednesday's programming live?
And Johnny, sometimes it is, sometimes it will not be live. Last week, both of those shows were live. Tomorrow, both of those shows will be live. And the that initial episode of Sonny and Semenza had been recorded on a Monday and released on Wednesday. So we'll make a note, you know, in parentheses, if it's a pre-recorded show in the description. And generally, I'll, you know, at least click in and in the comment section, I'll say this is a recorded show or we are live. So that way folks understand why we will not be responding to comments if it is a recorded show.
Absolutely. We're working with both Matt and with Sonny and Semenza's schedule. So that's why we have to do that sometimes recorded for obvious reasons because of that. Bubba, I know that we wanted to do a little bit of a roundtable, but before I forget too, I want to mention to everybody, people have been asking about Kyle. Kyle actually had his surgery yesterday, and good news. I was there. Obviously, I work at the hospital, and Craig's saying, Kyle, if you're watching, we're thinking about you, my friend. Surgery went well. He spent last night, and he actually is home tonight. So great news. Things went well as we were praying that would for the surgery. And, as Bubba said, he's on they've been home for a while now, he and his wife, Jessica. So thanks for all the prayers. And we wanted to for the fans of Pirate Nation to know that Kyle is home resting. And I know that he was up earlier this afternoon walking around, and obviously it was a tough surgery, but he did very well. Kyle's a fighter, and I'm just happy to be on Team Kyle, right, Bubba?
Obviously, we're always, you know,
praying for Kyle, keeping him, you know, in our thoughts and doing anything we can to support him in any way. And, you know, I reached out to Jessica earlier, and then it was funny, Kyle messaged me about 5 minutes later, maybe not even that long, saying, dude, you can just message me. I thought, well, I thought you were probably still in the hospital and didn't have access to your phone. So that's the reason I reached out to Jessica. He certainly appreciated it. He just gave me a tough time. But, you know, kind of moving on to some of these roundtable topics very quickly, Dave, kind of a fall sports update for Pirate fans. We have to start with Coach Higgins' women's soccer team. Coach Higgins is going to be on the program. Gary Higgins, first year in Greenville, coming over after several successful seasons at Lenoir Ryan. So Coach Higgins has the Pirates 5-2-1. And we started 0-2, and those two losses were very competitive losses. 1-0 to number 2 Duke, 2-0 to number 12 South Carolina in Columbia. And then since, the Pirates are 5-0-1. We defeated High Point 2-0, Old Dominion 3-0. We won at UNC Wilmington 1-0. It was a scoreless tie up in Richmond against VCU. We defeated George Mason up in Fairfax 2-1. And then most recently, we picked up our first ever win over an SEC opponent, taking down the Florida Gators 2-1. I believe that was on Sunday afternoon at Johnson Stadium. So with that 5-2-1 record and having won 5 out of the last 6, the Pirates are very close to being ranked in the top 25, and they received votes for the first time ever in the program's history. Guess what? The next game is against a ranked opponent, as they'll travel to Dallas, taking on number 19 SMU, and that is on Thursday. And that game will be available. I'm not sure the game time, but I believe it. I want to say it's maybe a 6 o'clock game Eastern time, but we'll put that on our social media and go to ecupirates.com to confirm that game time. And that matchup will be available on ESPN Plus, as will the next home game. If you're not able to get out to Johnson Stadium, if you're out of the area and would like to check out some of the action, and the Pirates will return home to Johnson Stadium on Sunday, September 18th, a 1 p.m. start against William & Mary, and also on ESPN Plus, as I mentioned.
Yeah, Bubba, that you know what I feel bad is that I actually planned on going to that game on Sunday. I woke up at like 9 o'clock in the morning. It was raining here, like not like cats and dogs, but it was raining. And I just assumed they were not going to have the match. I felt so bad for Coach. Well, I felt bad because I wanted to go to that game, and I just like said, oh, they're not going to, they were not, I'm not going to be able to see that game. I'm going to drive to Greenville and they're going to postpone the game. And I literally did not realize that I should have checked ESPN Plus. I didn't see any of the game. That's what I get for assuming. I felt very bad, but I'm glad the Pirates won. Man, they're on a roll right now. And like you said, Coach Higgins invited me to come to his office. So we're going to be recording that here very soon, and then we'll put it up on YouTube shortly thereafter. And appreciate the invite from Coach Higgins. But we wanted to give that program some love, Bob. I mean, that's incredible. I didn't realize we'd gotten some top 25 votes. I know that. But I didn't know that.
Some other fall sports notes for ECU. The volleyball team is 4-5. The Pirates have victories over Furman, Norfolk State, Navy, and Old Dominion. Those last two victories against Navy, 3-1, and Old Dominion, 3-0. Those came at a classic hosted by Old Dominion up in Norfolk. And then the Pirates' 5 losses have come against Towson. Then they dropped all 3 at the Duke Invitational against Northeastern, East Tennessee State, and then host Duke. And then the Pirates did drop 1 match to Notre Dame, a very close match, 3-2 in Norfolk. So, again, Adler Augustine's club is 4-5 thus far, but seem to be trending in the right direction. Men's and women's golf team kind of a mixed bag last season, especially on the men's side, I believe. But taking a look at the men's and women's golf team, they really struggled in their first tournament of the fall. And hopefully, you know, I know better days are ahead for both of those programs. Kevin Williams is an excellent coach. He just needed the time to be able to recruit more talent, specifically, you know, some international talent, as he hopes to bring and is bringing, you know, several international players into the mix. He hopes to have at least three or four, if not more, guys from across the pond, if you will. And, you know, the Pirates finished 14th out of 14th at the Rod Meyers Invitational at the Duke University Golf Club. And that was an event that was won by Bama, who finished 13 under, and then Duke came in second. But they were 11 shots off the pace at just two under. And the Pirates on the men's side will return to action this coming Monday and Tuesday on the 19th and 20th of September, as they will be at the River Run Collegiate, and that is at River Run Country Club out my way in Davidson, about 20 miles from where I live in China Grove. Unfortunately, that those will be in the morning, where I'll be unable to check any of those out. But that is where the men will be playing next. The women play down in Hanahan, South Carolina, at an event called the Cougar Classic, hosted by the College of Charleston. And that event was won by Ole Miss, who finished 13 under, edging out Clemson, who finished 12 under. And the Pirates were the Pirates finishing in last place in that event as well. So those results really surprised me, because I know what we've done in the past in those programs, and I know what we're capable of, and I know brighter days are ahead for those two programs. And so that's a look at some of the fall sports that are taking place for East Carolina.
Yeah, Bubba, before I forget, I believe it's tomorrow night, but our good friend H-Rob, Harold Robinson, who is the legendary coach, obviously, at what was then Williamston with the Tigers. Now it's Riverside High, the Knights. But they're going to have, I believe it's tomorrow night, the Gates County home game right near my house there at Riverside High. They're going to have honor H-Rob, and my understanding, tomorrow night. So if you're a Harold Robinson fan, if you know him, they come out to the game. It's Gates County, and that should be Friday night. I'm sorry, Friday night. I'm getting my nights mixed up, but that's going to be great. We want to give a shout out to, he's now Bubba in the North Carolina High School Athletic Association Hall of Fame. He got that great honor, and wanted to make sure before we left tonight to definitely honor him by mentioning that.
And one other thing I thought of, Dave, that I wanted to make mention of, huge news for Mike Schwartz and staff, and that is the commitment of Cy Malonga. I believe I'm pronouncing that name correctly. 6'11", 205, you know, had an offer from Cincinnati, had an offer from Seton Hall, two programs that have had a lot of history and success in the NCAA tournament. And so there were other offers. I don't believe they were necessarily commendable offers at this time. But at one point, he, according to 24/7 Sports, had offers from Georgetown, Georgia, Illinois, Texas, Mississippi State. So a very highly touted, you know, highly sought after big. I believe he is from Evangel Christian, that's in Kentucky.
Louisville.
And so, yeah, Louisville. So you have, I think he's the 30th big man nationally and maybe the number three player in the state of Kentucky. So awesome news. Congratulations to Coach Schwartz and staff. You know, here's to him getting to campus. He's a 2023 commit.
No doubt about it. And he actually talked, Kentucky talked to him and Duke talked to him. So two more blue bloods that I don't think they offered him, but they did talk to him. So just for to be on their radar is a huge deal. And having him come to Greenville, at least a verbal commit, is a big deal. And we're wishing Coach nothing but the best, as Bubba and I have, and many other Pirate fans have been waiting for basketball to be good for many, many years on a consistent basis, not just a year or two here or there. So we'll see how that turns out. Yeah. Bubba, I know we have to run. We'll do our sponsors and get out of here. Appreciate everybody watching the Pirate Preview. Want to start off with L&K Custom Homes. They're, of course, the title sponsor for our Pirate Playback every Sunday night. And we want to thank Kevin Walker. Appreciate you, Kevin. KK is awesome, and can't wait to actually meet Kev in person, too, at one of these games eventually. 336-688-8461. Give Kevin a call. The man does fantastic work. If you don't believe me, go on his Facebook page, man. They've got some great pictures of the work that he's done building these homes, and it does a great job. Appreciate L&K Custom Homes, Kevin Walker's support of our program. Second year in a row, title sponsor for the Pirate Playback. Also want to give a shout out to pgxgloves.com. Bubba, I know that they do a great job, Kaz, with the custom baseball gloves, the batting gloves, the football gloves. They have the golf gloves, the swag apparel, so much more. And get this, promo code ECU, put in that the promo box there, and you get 25% off for your orders. And my good friends, I want to remind everybody about Porky's Backyard Barbecue. They're in Williamson. They're the sponsor of our tailgate, and I'm sure they'll do it again this Saturday. They're open 11 to 8 daily. You can call them at 252-661-0337. I know they cater. They do a lot of different events, so if you're interested in that, 252-661-0337. They have a dine-in. You can take out. They have a drive-through. Man, they've got great food. We love them. Appreciate them very, very much. And, Bubba, I know you've got one thing, and we'll get out of here.
Yeah, when Pirate fans, make sure you're joining the Pirate Club. Obviously, you know, on Saturdays we put, you know, tens of thousands, you know, anywhere from 40 to 50,000, 51,000 in Dowdy Ficklin Stadium. So obviously, you know, some of those folks are, you know, buying season tickets, and we certainly appreciate that. But at the same time, make sure you're joining the Pirate Club. You can join for as little. And when I say as little, and that's certainly not a trivial amount, because a lot of folks feel, well, if I can only give 100, 150, 200 bucks, then why even bother to join? Folks, that adds up. You know, no amount is too small. We appreciate everyone joining. And you know, that's something we have to get back to and beyond where we've been in the past. We peaked at 8,395 members, and that wasn't including the Student Pirate Club. That's extremely important as well, but I'm a firm believer in, you know, talking about those numbers separately. And, you know, that was back in the Terry Holland years. It's 2008 when the Pirates were playing so well under Skip Holtz and had such excellent leadership with Coach Holland, Nick Floyd, Scott Weatherby, et cetera. So definitely make sure you're joining the Pirate Club. In recent years, as recent as 2 or 3 years ago, we dipped down into about 4,400. We're getting back to where we need to be. We're 5,700, 5,800 right now. So let's go ahead and, you know, continue chopping away and making progress toward back where we need to be and beyond, and in order to allow East Carolina Athletics the best opportunity to be successful, because that's one thing we can agree on. We all want the Pirates to be successful. So let's make sure that we're doing all we can. And everybody's situation is different. Obviously, that's a private decision that has to be made. But if you're able to give to the program, if you care about East Carolina Athletics, then we urge you to give as your situation allows. And then kind of along those same lines, the Pirates Unite campaign, you know, talk to several people who've given to this initiative. You know, a lot of people have given to several capital campaigns down through the years, and now it's Pirates Unite. This is not only for the indoor practice facility, it's for the baseball ops building, the weight room that is fairly close to being finished, and I think will be finished this fall, perhaps, there on the first baseline of Clark LeClaire Stadium, along that access road. So make sure you're getting your donations into that as you can as well.
No doubt, Bubba. And everybody that joins the Pirate Club, Bubba gets a toaster oven. So I think that'll be great, right, Bubba? I guess that's what everybody will be getting, a Christmas gift of a toaster oven from Bubba.
And Craig liked my comment, chopping away. I guess that's the the coach perhaps coming out in me that, and I guess I'm like Coach Ruff would always say, I'm as country as a row of corn. So
no, look up earlier. He said, great timing and wrapping up the show. Axe throwing is up next on ESPN2.
Oh, I got you.
Programming tonight. So, and then it was funny because you said chopping away. So that's why I was laughing at, because I knew what, I knew he would put that he was going to have fun with that. But thank you all for everybody watching tonight. We appreciate it very much. Thanks to Chris Haymeyer. And I know, Bubba, before we go, we've got the, I was about to forget that with Coach Minner, right? With the are you going to do that or you want to do
it? Yes. Thank you. We did have the opportunity. I had the chance to record his press conference early today. Unfortunately, unable to get in a question as I was working, but was able to record that Zoom press conference with Campbell head coach and former Carolina Panthers standout safety Mike Minner, the former Nebraska standout as well. And here's those thoughts of Coach Minner on his team's 1-1 start, as well as an in-state matchup, the first ever, well, I guess since the program was restarted, the first in 70-plus years with East Carolina. And let's go to those comments with Coach Minner right now.
Mary last week and headed to East Carolina this weekend. First matchup with the Pirates in our modern era here. And our FBS game this year as well.
Yeah, well, last week was a great showing and a great showing of where we at. So I'm happy about being able to see how far we off of being in the top 25 and going to the playoffs. They got a preview of what the playoffs is going to look like. And so we're 16 points away from that. And so we got to get better. And what better way to doing it than going to face these Pirates, man, who almost upset NC State. So I'm sure they're feeling good about themselves and what they're doing there. Coach Houston is a great coach, and I know he's going to have them ready. They will not overlook us. He'll have them ready to go, and we know that. So we're looking forward to the challenge.
JB, you want to lead us off?
Sure thing. Yeah, let's just talk about the impact of having a game like this in state, Coach. You know what I mean? It is an FBS opponent, but you know, it's kind of one of those games that can help you on the recruiting trail, and you guys can kind of like make a statement, you know, not just to the country, but obviously here in North Carolina. Can you speak on the impact that this game can have from that perspective?
Well, I think anytime you in state and you playing somebody bigger than you, no different than when they play NC State, right? So you have that type of energy. You know how big it is because 50, 60% of your roster is from North Carolina. So they understand, they grew up watching East Carolina. And now you get a chance to, you know, go there and play them. And that's not always the case when you're at an FCS program. So the great thing about North Carolina is we got a lot of universities in North Carolina. That's the great part about North Carolina with that. And so, man, we get a chance to play these Pirates for the first time, and it's going to be really good for recruiting, you know, because we recruiting 3 stars and 4 stars. And so I'm sure East Carolina is doing the same. And so it'd be fun to be able to get on the field with them.
Now, I know you guys lost your last game by 16 points, but did you see any improvement based off from week one to week two?
Well, here's the thing, JB. I think what a lot of teams are saying right now in week two, we are tough. We played tough for 4 quarters. We had our opportunities. So it's not like we never had the opportunity to win the game. We had the opportunity. We was in the red zone twice in the fourth quarter. You got to give them credit. They made the plays in the fourth quarter while we was in the red zone twice to tie the game. And so it's really good to know that our best game was not played and we had an opportunity to win the game at the end of the game. So that's what you want. My previous team would not have been in that game. When they went up 17-0, we would have probably lost the game by 30-some points, okay? And this team didn't do it. They fought back 17-14. And then It's third and 18, and they throw a pass interference on something that what had nothing to do with the call, right? Now, did my kid grab him? Yes, but he wasn't throwing it over there. So you let that go, man. Don't, do not bail him out. And that changed the game because they was able to go down and score with that. Where the momentum had came back to us. We had scored 14 unanswered points, and now we're about to get the ball back, and now it's a different ball game, okay? And, you know, they was able to capitalize on that and go down. So, you know, that's the type of stuff that you got to deal with in the playoffs, man. You know it. That every call going to be, you know, off and on, and guys going to make plays here and there. But my guys kept fighting. What we did not do is we did not play smart, guys. That's the difference between championship team and just potential championship team. Championship team play smart for 60 minutes, and we did not do that. And what do I mean by that? I'm talking about the discipline of doing your job, the discipline of using the technique, the discipline of knowing your plays. So in the fourth quarter, you don't mess up. Like the first pick we threw, the receiver in the wrong spot. So all of a sudden, you know, Hodge is looking, and yeah, everybody mad at him because he threw the pick, but the receiver didn't know what he was doing. And that's the type of stuff that you got to eliminate if you're going to be a championship team, right? And that's where we need to be. But I needed to see us play tough against a playoff football team for four quarters. So you asked for the improvement. The improvement was that we was able to do that, okay? Now we just got to learn how to be smart football team. And what better way to do that than to play a great, smart football team in ECU?
You mentioned that kind of fight back from your team and something that they didn't have last year. At what point maybe this season did you see that this team could be different, that they did have that ability to kind of rally back when they were down in a game?
Well, I saw it based off the training I put them through. You know, I told you guys last week, I went old school. We wasn't doing the technology training anymore. We going, you know, Rocky style, you know, Rocky IV. We chopping wood, and we got to get there. And that's when I knew that my team was going to be a tough football team because of the training that I put them through in the summer, and they was able to overcome. Now they didn't start there; they started weak. They started hiding between the walls, is what I call it. And eventually they came out of that. Okay. And they became tough. So Jordan, I knew we were going to be a tough football team. And, but it's good to see it when you play a team like that. Okay. So, because you look at the team we played first at Citadel, they beat the number six team in the country, or, you know, top 10 team in the country at, East Tennessee, right? Okay, so they beat East Tennessee State, and we slapping them around. So it's not like Citadel is a bad football team. It was just we was just that tough. And William and Mary, you know, a lot of trickery, man, in their offense that you know, kept them being on top of what they was doing. So yeah, Jordan, I thought we was tough coming in, and it was great to verify that last week.
You talked about this a little bit last week as well, how for a lot of this team, it was their first road game. How do you think they handled just kind of that overall experience?
The road game, that did not affect us. You know, we went in 2020, most of these guys was on their team, you know, on the road, 4 weeks in a row playing FBS opponents. So that piece did not affect us. We was prepared for that. They handled it well. That's why they were able to come back and, you know, give themselves a chance to win the game. So, you know, when you look at the road piece of it, that didn't affect us too much.
Coach, if I could sneak back in here and ask a couple more questions about ECU. They have a potent offense. What impresses you the most? Obviously, they got a quarterback who's seasoned, but I know they have weapons outside of that. What about this offense and this team? Can you tell us when it comes to your scouting report?
Okay, first of all, we got to make sure number two stay on the sideline. Fastest man in college football. Okay, this dude is fast. He made NC State linebackers who all potential draft picks in the National Football League. He made them look like they were running in mud. That's just, this guy is unbelievable fast. And so we got to try to contain him. He's the guy that can take the ball 80 at any moment. Okay. They got some great receivers. Okay. They got three of them. And that makes it tough because you can't just focus on one guy. Normally teams in college only got one guy, not three guys. And they got three dudes that can legitimately make plays on you. They got tall, they got height, they got size, they got speed, okay? And then JB, the tight ends, man. When you got tight ends that can run like them two tight ends that they have, that makes it bad, man. So that's why they so potent, is that you got a great running back that can take it to the house, and you got great receivers that can run routes and get open and use their size with fade balls, jump balls to number 11. So they can do that all day long. And people forget about five in the slot. I mean, this guy is probably the most explosive guy. He ain't got as much catches as the other two, but he got 8 targets and he got 7 catches. That means that dude can make plays when they come to him. And so you got to look at that offense and say, man, if I'm quarterbacking, I'm going to be pretty good too, right? I throw the ball to these guys and hand the ball off to two, man, I'm good to go, right? But he's smart, the quarterback. He knows how to get them the football, and he got an arm, and he knows the offense. He knows every defense. I think this is his 5th year or something, starting or something like that. So, man, I mean, hey, look, if I got 5 years in college, man, it's going to be pretty bad for everybody else. And that's what you're looking at with this offense. I'm sure that coach is going to get them to try to run the football because their running game has not been up to par. But it's because of who they play. You play NC State, you play ODU, who is great at stopping the run. Okay? So I'm sure he going into this week saying, we got to run the ball, guys. We got to establish the run on these camels, right? That's what I would be saying if I was playing a D2 school. We got to run the football and establish this run so we can get it going. So when we get to conference, we'll be ready for that.
Nice, nice. I got one last question for you, Coach. As far as, well, what experience do you have with Dowdy-Ficklin Stadium? What do you know about it? And whatever experience you do have with that atmosphere that they're going to provide, how are you going to prepare your players for it?
Well, I've never been there, so I don't know nothing about ECU. So it's going to be my first trip there. I'm sure it's going to be loud. I watched the game when they play NC State. Everybody showed up and they was all crazy. So it looked like it's a crazy atmosphere when it comes to college football games. And so I'm sure that the fans will come out and be loud and, you know, night game. And, you know, they expected to have a great showing on offense. And so this is what they do. And so I look forward to being in the stadium because, I haven't been in that stadium. I haven't been in North Carolina State Stadium. I've never been in North Carolina Stadium. And so never been in Duke Stadium. We're going to get to play all these people, and I'm going to get to see their stadium. So then I'll rank them after it's all done, JB. I'll let you know who's the best stadium.
That sounds like an off-the-record type of conversation right there. We'll definitely have it. Appreciate you, Coach. That's all I got for you, man. Good luck on Saturday.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
And that was Mike Minner, the head coach of Campbell. Appreciate him very much. Bubba, that was awesome stuff. In fact, I'm ready for the game on Saturday. Again, get your tickets, 1-800-ECU, and you can actually go online, ecupirates.com. Bubba, do you have anything before we go?
No, just appreciate Chris Haymeyer coming on the show as always, giving us 45 minutes of his time this evening. Always an excellent interview, and you know, something I know we're ready to wrap it up, but I will say very quickly about Chris. He talked about Jeff Charles, the voice, giving him that recommendation and helping him get his current position. Certainly not wishing anything as far as Jeff Charles want him to remain the voice of the Pirates as long as he wants to be the voice of the Pirates.
But when he does decide to, you know, hang the mic up, if you will, I would love to have Chris Haymeier, you know, be at the top of our list, and us give him a legit look, and you know, really explore that possibility of him returning to be the voice of the Pirates.
Yeah, that'll be a very sad day, as we're very close to Jeff Charles, and appreciate all he's done, not only for me personally, but even for this show. And the voice is tremendous, and the wind to go. But you're absolutely right. Haymeier is Chris is amazing, and appreciate his support back in the day with the Pirates, and he's done a great job on his own at Campbell, and that'll be interesting to see how he sounds there at Dowdy Ficklin on Saturday night. All right, appreciate Chris Haymeier. Thanks to all of you that are listening. In fact, the Pirate Preview is every Tuesday night if you're watching or listening live. And then, of course, you can listen to this anytime. We do it on purpose on Tuesday nights to give you a chance to listen before Saturday's game. We'll get out of here. Thanks again to everybody. Good night. And everybody, as always, go Pirates.
Why not copy that? Everybody in the stands go bananas, scream loud, but don't hold back. Every foot, every yard, every first down, every touchdown with the cannons blast. Get it on, get involved, get the wave going.